Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com and host of Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today's topic on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is about altering your farm's role in the value chain. Farmers are a crucial part of the value chain, but tend to be price takers. Commodity production requires volume and scale in today's global competitive environment. That word, commodity. Commodity is defined as a raw material, a primary agricultural product that can be bought and sold. What if instead of producing a commodity, you produced a product? A product that is branded, one that has more value, and is more unique than a homogeneous commodity. It's possible, and farmers across the country are attempting to move up the value chain through strong partnerships or even their own processing facilities. Today we're going to talk to Jeff None, a dairy farmer from Alberta that is not willing to settle for just producing a commodity. Hey Jeff, how's it going today?
Well, still fighting the fight out here, freezing up and trying to get stuff done.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeff, today we're going to talk about moving up the value chain, you know, creating more value for some of the commodities that people are producing on the farm. And your farm is really unique. Tell us about your operation.
So we have a base of the operation being dairy, 170 milking cows, and kind of using that as a foundation over the years, your general mixed farm, trying to grow our own crops and to feed the cattle and do rotation. So we started into the seed potato business in 2000 and have always raised our beef from the dairy alongside. But when we expanded in the dairy in 2010, started looking into the opportunity to maybe connect with consumers and build a brand and move beef more directly into the marketplace.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about what you're doing there with that. Is it just as simple as selling cuts into the Edmonton restaurant trade?
There's a few people that are trying to do more of that concept, and I think there's room for everything out there. For us, I can remember, and it's actually, the story's been told at a few different events, and there's lots of learning along the way, but I remember feeling strongly that we had a unique product in our beef. It's a Holstein beef and maybe some Holstein crosses, but the base of it is Holstein, and not a lot of people know the characteristics of that meat. So we had something unique, something that was identifiable, and off I went. I remember our local on-farm butcher built an abattoir somewhere around 2010, 2011. So I started looking to where I can kind of go with this meat, and I walked into a local butcher shop in, you know, about 30 minutes away in town with a couple of steaks in a Ziploc bag and had a discussion with the butcher. When I look back, it sounds pretty ridiculous, but the steak held up, the packaging and the presentation was forgiven, and they tried it out and liked it and moved a couple steaks and started developing a relationship there so that we had access to retail. So that's basically where we got our foothold.
Okay, and so how is the majority of the meat being sold today? Is it through like a local butcher like it started?
It's really taken off in the last year. So in partnership with that butcher shop and using him to do distribution, you start reaching out into the food community, and that involves chefs and restaurants and you know, trying to make connections and get your product out there. And this is a really long, slow process. So we've been going at this for 6 years, and really the last year or so is where the brand has been recognized and the demand has crept up and the relationships have come along with it. So I still have the butcher shop taking whole carcasses. He breaks them down. He supplies a few restaurants that are a little bit kind of smaller scales or specialty cuts and retails the rest. One of the keys early on and still now is a burger place in St. Albert where the butcher is that helps to move that cut. So it's finding that balance, and that's where the patience is required. Probably the most exciting recent one is a partnership with a chef, Chef Paul Schufelt, Workshop Eatery on the south side is his restaurant for 3 years now, and he just opened up in July Woodshed Burgers. So he's taking whole carcasses, the butcher shop abattoir is breaking it down to suit his needs, and those relationships work outside of it. So I'm responsible for pretty much a wholesale cut. I don't deal with any of the broken down parts of it. And that's what works for us and has been great in getting a brand going and getting that recognition and letting people that have the infrastructure to retail and do provide that service play along and be part of the story.
Yeah, you know, I think for a lot of people, they understand, you know, selling that ribeye, the T-bone and the ribs, they get that part. It's like, what the heck do I do with the rest of the carcass? And it's actually really cool to hear that you've kind of figured out through partnership and working with other stakeholders, you've kind of figured that part out.
Well, and you know what? I guess for me, it came naturally. What's the super exciting part of that is these relationships are really building both of our brands, whether it's the little entrepreneurial restaurant, the little, you know, independent guy, and creating some value for him and getting your name out there. All of these things become important. And I guess it depends. I'm not sitting at farmers markets and I'm not driving around retailing beef. So I've leaned heavily on finding partners that really help my brand and get recognition. And that includes food writers, right? Getting out and meeting them, having some events, getting product in front of them, getting them to know your story. And we've heard forever that consumers want to know that and want to have connections with farmers. And this has been a way for us to develop that and understand what that relationship means. So, you know, you don't walk around and have people running up to you wanting to talk to you because you're a farmer. You have to find an in or a connection, and something special like dry-aged quality local beef has been that in spades for us.
Was everybody in the family farm unit supportive of the idea when you first started? Or I don't even have to ask what neighbors thought, because I usually know how that goes. But what was some of the reaction when you first told people?
I think everyone watches with curiosity. So family-wise, you know, we've always finished some beef on farm, and it wasn't the type of venture where I needed to spend a lot on infrastructure. We just had to finish some beef, and you know, it was an easy stepping stone. So yeah, it was neat. It helped make connections, you know, into a local radio program. I can't stress enough though, Sean, like all the way along is having the focus that you're building a brand in this, right? So trying to determine what that brand is, and everything really comes back to that, because without that, none of this works.
Yeah. So why do you, is the brand, why is that so important, do you think? Is it about the consumer seeing Jeff Nonet's face and, you know, attaching a farmer to the product? Or dive a little bit deeper in the importance of the brand.
Yeah, and you learn early on. So in the brand on the beef side is somewhat detached from the Lakeside Dairy core business, registered business name. And if you go around town and go to restaurants, it is known a beef on the menu, because they do want that personal connection. They want to know who this guy is. And it really takes, it's like a freight train. Like, it takes forever to get any momentum. But once you get that momentum, it seems to come pretty naturally. And people hear about it from a lot of different sources, and the product has to stand up for itself as well, which is always been the base of things for us. And then I guess the time and effort that I've invested in it so far, because off the start, I would have made pretty much the same money delivering my animals down to the Cargill butcher plant down in Calgary or any of those options. So you have to be patient with it. But once you establish that quality and brand, well, now you can start to, you know, make a little bit of a premium on it and where you value that premium. So for me, there's always been tremendous value in making that connection to consumers for all of agriculture. So for everything I do on the farm, having people understand and feel connected has been a rewarding part of it as well.
This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business Podcast is brought to you by RBC. Today's producers are thinking hard about where they want to go and what moves to make to get them there. A business plan is your roadmap to success. Without one, it's easy to get lost along the way. You can count on the services and expertise RBC offers to help you meet your business goals and chart a course to success. Visit rbc.com/chartyourcourse to find an agriculture account manager near you. That was going to be one of my next questions is, you know, it sounds very, very cool. and you're definitely, you know, on the leading edge here, but have you made any money doing it? And it sounds like after a number of years of slogging it out, hard work, it's coming around.
It is. And part of that's volume and finding the right value connections and getting, I think the key, whether it's the retailer or this relationship that's building with the restaurant industry, is having the trust in each other that my product's going to be there, because they built an entire, you know, new location branded with burgers based on that. So we're tied in very closely there, and that's essential to having enough premium steaks to sell at the higher end restaurant where that's what, you know, that's what their menu looks like. So that's why it takes so long, and all the more reward to it, right? And it's exciting for the servers and you know, for our family when we go out, it's a whole different experience, because in a lot of ways, it's unique for everybody involved at the restaurant and the guests dining there and you name it. So it's the start of, you know, building that brand. And in the back of my mind, it's always been an important part of continuing on the farm, to continue into this value added and maybe look at the dairy side a little bit more on where we can do value added there.
We're going to get to that in a second. So with all of the interest that the consumer, studies have shown they have a lot of interest in food right now. You know, look at the Food Network. Like, it's, you know, there's the whole TV channel dedicated to food. There's a lot of interest here. Do you think farmers have settled in some cases to just produce a commodity and haven't necessarily taken ownership of the marketing of that product and going more, a little bit more direct to the consumer market?
100%. And I think in different regions, especially out west here, that's certainly the focus. I think most farms make decisions on, you know, they can farm another quarter of land, they can calve a few more cows, and they can continue. And there's no disruption there in how they do business. And you can't argue the economics of that. I mean, I look at a lot of the neighbors, and they seem to have a much simpler formula for growth and expansion, and they're efficient, and they do a great job. But it does leave this void where I think that continues to feed the disconnect with consumers that look at larger and larger farms and don't understand the decisions and the workload and the quality of what we're producing. So I'm in that middle ground where, you know, we move a considerable amount of beef this way. It's a large enough reach for it to be, you know, in a city of Edmonton, around 1 million people, to be significant, I would say. But at the same time, it's still relatively small. So it's still a connection to broaden the conversation to consumers, to open it up to how food gets to their table. So for me, that's going to continue to be what drives things and maybe determines where I grow and what I do.
Okay, so let's talk about the dairy side of your operation, because after a number of years of slogging it out, hard work, dedication to doing this in beef, you think there's an opportunity with dairy products. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of trips out east and having some of the kids that run farms out there and are connected, and you get out there and there's a lot of processing. And I think in BC as well, you see more where there's value added in the farm, the dairy finds something they're passionate about. And I mean, the beauty of milk versus beef is that you're not dealing with a burger and steak. You're taking a raw product and determining where you're going to go as far as cheese or, you know, maybe looking at some fluid opportunities and seeing just how far that can carry. All of them come with challenges as far as trying to determine that mix. But I think that's another area that's got a lot of promise right now, so much so that infrastructure's up. Like, we're planning to be active in that game by next summer.
Oh, very, very interesting. And will you seek the same kind of partnership model, or maybe you go a little bit more of a e-commerce, say, as an example, direct relationship?
I'm really comfortable in the area that I'm in. So the boutiques, the restaurants, they're all growing with me and expanding, and there's opportunities for me to get product on the shelf. I think there's a lot of the growth comes from seeking out these small little vendors, and one in St. Albert that probably was a bit of a tipping point was a seafood place. So we did a surf and turf last February, and combining the two brands gave me for sure, and I think it worked well for him, the reach of all of a sudden his consumers being exposed to my brand. And I like that model going forward, so I could see where there's opportunities to do a co-branded butter or work with restaurants and do specific products that way, where we can leverage each other's brands to continue to reach and make more of an impression and gather more of a following with the consumers.
Very, very cool. So, Jeff, some of the people who are listening to this podcast probably have thought about taking this step. What sort of advice would you give to them if they are interested in more of this kind of direct marketing model?
Just get out there and you know, if you have a product that you feel is unique and that you're, you know, passionate about making, start looking for connections to make. And there's a lot out there. Like, I've hardly scratched the surface of restaurants and partnerships that are available, simply because, you know, like, I only have so much product on the beef side, and dairy, we'll see where that goes as far as capacity. But, you know, each to their own. The farmer's market's a great premium and a great way to connect. I don't know that everyone's comfortable or has the time for that space. So I think that there's partnerships in these small vendor locations. Having said that, I mean, you have to, you know, if you're in this zone, you have to look at the big players and the Safeway, Save-On supply chains are interested in this. I'm not sure. I mean, there's a few things in the works in my mind. I'm not sure that is the place to start, I guess I would say. I would start and build that brand and be patient. And once you have some confidence that there's a brand following, then I think that it's easier to spend dollars and invest and know where you want to go with it.
Is that really one of the pitfalls to avoid, is trying to go too big too soon?
I mean, there's some models out there where it probably works. We've all heard speakers talk about that. And I think that there's a lot of intrigue there. I've always treaded carefully because I just don't know how you approach a contract and a supply situation with players that are that large. So I guess I would caution it. Unless people have a lot of confidence and connections in that regard, then just start small and start getting connected. And it's, you know, it's super rewarding in our case to pull into a restaurant and have everyone from the chefs to the front of house be excited and know that they're serving our product and to have that connection. So start there and have some fun with it. And don't get over your head too fast.
Hey, Jeff, great stuff. Thanks a lot for joining us here on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast.
Thanks, Sean.
There is not one single way to grow a crop, raise livestock, or market the fruits of your labor. As we learned today in the discussion with Jeff None, moving up the value chain is not easy. In fact, it can take years of hard work and dedication to move up the value chain. This approach to business may not be for everyone, but there are farmers looking at unique ways to connect closer with the consumer. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. If you have any feedback, please email me at shaney@realagriculture.com or call the Real Ag listener line 855-776-6147. I would love to hear your stories on developing products and markets by moving up the value chain. What worked and what didn't? Find more episodes of Mind Your Farm Business by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Big thanks to RBC Royal Bank for being the sponsor of this podcast. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.